Good afternoon.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, not too bad.
Give you a quick view around the classroom here. Oh, hang on. We got an announcement.
This football has been canceled for today. Boys football practice has been canceled for today. An alert now message has been sent home, but I will need to see the following football players to call home. Matthew Blewett, Bobby Staub, Matthew Lowe, Kyle Sawyers, Dylan Dixon, Bo Bryant. I just need to see those football players or other football players your parents have been contacted. Thank you.
So there you go. There's a moment in the life of a seventh grade classroom for you there, Tom.
Excellent.
We're going to try video as long as it'll work, and if it starts lagging on us or anything like that, we'll just cut that off. I've told them just a little bit about where you are. We pulled up Google Earth, and I showed them where Pittsburgh is in Pennsylvania and where the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is. So if you want to just kind of jump in from there and talk about what you do and everything, and we'll do some questions and answers in a few minutes.
Okay, sounds good. How are all you guys doing today?
Good.
Excellent. So I apologize. A little unclear.
We're losing audio. Let's go ahead and just do video and see if that'll do it for us.
All right.
Yeah, just do audio. Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Am I coming in okay now?
Yep. For right now, we'll see.
All right.
You were coming in all right.
I was coming in all right.
You were. It's like it's cutting in and out. Is there a way? Have you done the audio check? Can you see if you can turn your mic up a little bit or anything like that?
I did the way. Just talk loud.
Yeah, we're getting about two words at a time.
Should.
Yeah. Well, we could talk to you about weather, but I'm not sure we'd have a whole lot to say.
Right, okay, let's see. How about this? Will this work better?
That's working right now, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, I'll just turn it up to high all the way
Okay. Instead
of auto. All right, so now am I coming in okay so far?
So far.
Okay. So one of the main things that we get a lot of weather from when I was up in Upper Michigan was the lake breeze or sea breeze, as you guys would be used to them. And Mr. Williamson already told me that you've had some experience with that. So pretty much during the day, you can expect the land to heat more quickly than the water does. And as a result of that, you get a little bit of a localized low pressure. So the pressure is actually higher over the water. So when that happens, you can get a lake breeze or a sea breeze, as you would have down in North Carolina. And so that blows from the water onto the land. I'm not quite as familiar down with New Bern's area, but it can certainly have a big effect on the temperatures that we would have in Upper Michigan. You might end up having a high temperature around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and then if you had a sea breeze or a lake breeze, I guess it was the lake breeze up there, come in to wherever your town was along the shoreline, your temperature might drop about 10 or 15 degrees and never come back up for the day. And we also have land breezes that can form as well, and that happens at night. And it's pretty much the opposite process. Those of us on land wouldn't really ever experience that for the most part, but if you're out on any sort of ship, if you might be out fishing late at night, you might end up experiencing that. So that was one of the difficulties that we had, because we needed to include that into our wind forecast for anybody who was doing some boating, and then also just anybody who lived along the shoreline. That would end up definitely affecting their temperatures for the day. The other big thing that we ended up having up in the Upper Peninsula was lake effect snow. So the way that ends up forming is if you have cold air that's moving over a relatively warm lake. Now, the lake doesn't have to be very warm, just as long as it's anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees warmer than the air is. And so what happens is as that cold air moves over the warm lake or the warm water, you'll get some heat transfer from the water up to the air. And I know you guys have already studied that warm air rises. So as a result, the air becomes more buoyant and it wants to lift. So that can end up forming clouds and precipitation. So that can get some bands going over the lake itself. And then also friction, as the air is moving across the water, there's less friction over water than there is over land. So when the air reaches the land, all of a sudden the air has been moving really fast over the water, and now it has to slow down when it reaches the land. And so now all of a sudden you have some convergence, and you have the air coming back together, and that can also allow for some lifting motion and can help to generate the clouds and the precipitation. You always hear about lake effect snow, but you can certainly have lake effect rain if your temperatures are warm enough for that as well. For the most part, to get any sort of lake effect, you probably need to have about a 20-degree difference between whatever the water temperature is and what the air temperature is about half a mile up. It's normally about 20 degrees to really get that process going. And certainly we would get a lot of lake effect snow up in Marquette where I was. I was up there for two winters, and we had 435 inches of snow.
Let's see.
And I lived in North Carolina for 13 years, so I know how much snow you guys see in New Bern. Just imagine that whatever you see in about 10 years is as much snow as we might get in Marquette from one storm. There was one storm that I was up there for in the first week of April, and we had 24 inches of snow in 24 hours.
Amazing.
It was really interesting. I definitely made sure that I did not go driving anywhere that day. There were certainly some people out there. They're used to getting lake effect snow, normally not that much at a time. But we ended up having 50 inches that week, and it was in April. And I know all you guys are used to wearing shorts and everything by then, and there I was shivering in my apartment waiting for the 50 inches of snow outside to go away.
Nice.
So, again, I mean, I was in Raleigh for 13 years, so you're a little bit warmer in New Bern being closer to the coast, but I'm certainly familiar with North Carolina weather. So if we look at the normal climate in New Bern, the temperatures in January, you normally have a high of around 54 and a low of 34. And in July, the temperatures are 88 and 71. And just compare that to what they have in Marquette, where in January the normal high is 21 and the low is 4. And then in July, the temperatures are 76 and 54. So pretty much the normal temperatures that you would have right now at this time of year, that's as warm as Marquette normally gets in the summer. I mean, certainly they have warmer days, and there will be a few days when it gets up to 90 degrees. But if you're looking at what the normal temperatures are, what you have right now is as hot as it gets in Marquette. But by comparison, the temperatures that Marquette has right now are as cold as you get in the winter. So imagine it. We're on October 15th, and what they have right now, they're going to have another 3 months of getting colder. I mean, you can imagine if they only have a high temperature of 21 in January, that right now they're normally only in the 50s. And when I was up there, I was actually visiting there just this past weekend. And on Sunday, I saw a couple of snowflakes. And on Monday, it was flurrying for a few hours, though nothing was really sticking. But they ended up getting 1 or 2 inches of snow. So definitely not something you're used to seeing in New Bern. Kind of the other thing is I know that you've been able to talk to one or two TV meteorologists, but I work for the government. I work for the National Weather Service, and we do things very similarly to what the TV meteorologists do. We're still doing a seven-day forecast, but we're forecasting the highs and the lows. We're forecasting what the chance of precipitation is and what kind of precipitation it is. We're also doing the dew point, you know, relative humidity, how much moisture is going to be in the air. We're also doing the wind speeds and the wind directions. And if an office like the New Bern office or the Moorhead City office, since you have a weather service office very close to you, they also get to do forecasting for the marine areas as well. At the Moorhead City office, they actually do forecasts out to 60 miles in broad areas out on the Atlantic Ocean. Just like in Marquette, we had to do the forecast for all of Lake Superior. And probably one of the most important things that we end up doing at the Weather Service is we're in charge of any of the warnings that go out. So when you watch TV and they make a comment that you have a severe thunderstorm warning, that's not the TV meteorologist who has decided that it needed to have a warning. Really, it's somebody like me at the National Weather Service that has gone ahead and looked at the radar and decided that it looks like a storm is severe. And so we're the ones who issue the warning. And it's certainly very important that we have our different partners, like TV people and radio people and everybody else, who help distribute that message. But I just want to make it clear that it's not that particular TV meteorologist who has made the decision. They're essentially relaying what we've ended up saying. So we're in charge of any of the severe thunderstorm warnings, tornado warnings, flash flood warnings. Anytime there's winter weather, we do any of those watches or the warnings. And as a result of that, that means that we have rotating shift work at my office. We have two people at the office at all times. Doesn't matter what day it is. It doesn't matter what time it is. So I have a lot of shifts where every couple of weeks I have to work 4 or 5 days, and I have to work from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. because we're always updating the forecast, and we always have to keep an eye to make sure that there isn't any severe weather coming. So there is always somebody at the office, even at 3 a.m. on Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's or anything like that. So I can't say that the hours are necessarily great working for the National Weather Service, because I get to rotate through days and evenings and midnights. But I knew that before I ended up starting to work there, so I understand that that's what I'm signing up for. So those were kind of the main points that I wanted to cover. I was wondering what questions you might have for me.
Okay. Anybody have questions? Go ahead.
Why does the air around the water get cooler at night than over the land?
So what is it that causes those temperature differences between land and water?
Well, for the most part, water is very good at holding heat. So the temperature rises very slowly, and the temperature falls very slowly. So during the daytime, when you have the sun out, the water doesn't really change its temperature that much, but the land is what ends up really having the big temperature change. The temperature over the water changes very, very little between day and night. It slowly changes as the months go along, but the temperature over the water is very constant. It's the land that it really has the changing temperature. So that's why it's warmer during the daytime, and then it loses a lot of heat at night. So now the water, which hasn't changed temperature, is now warmer than the land.
Got another question over here?
Why in the morning when you go out to the ocean and you touch the water, why is it colder?
Okay, so she's asking here, this is more of a North Carolina-specific question. Why is it that if the ocean water doesn't change temperature all that much, why does it seem so much colder in the morning than it does later in the day?
Well, probably part of it is if you're right along the shoreline, certainly in that area the water the depth of the water is more shallow. So there's not as much. I mean, when you're out in the ocean, like far out in the ocean, that's very constant. The water is very deep. It's always kind of mixing around. When you're along the shoreline and you have shallower water, it doesn't necessarily hold that same temperature quite as well. Just like a shallow river, for the most part, you might see that kind of freeze a little bit more easily in the winter, you know, if you get some really cold temperatures, just because there's less water, so it's retaining less heat.
Other questions? Yeah, right here.
How many of the broadcast warnings do you send out in a month?
Can you say that again?
How many broadcast warnings or severe weather warnings or anything like that would you say you send out on a typical monthly basis?
Wow. I want to say that this year in Pittsburgh, we had a few less than normal. I think we put out we've put out 150 so far this year. I want to say that here in Pittsburgh, the typical number is somewhere around 300 for the most part. Now, let me see if I can pull up really quickly here what it would how many warnings your particular office has ended up doing. Maybe I'll be able to pull that up, and I can give you an idea of how many you've had recently. So let me see. Just going here, looking at the severe reports. Depends on if you've had one recently. No. Oh, I was hoping I'd be able to pull that up so I could take a look and just tell you how many you've had. But I want to say that normally in North Carolina, that number is probably around 400, 500 for the most part. That would be severe thunderstorm warnings for an entire year. Let me try one other website and see if I can get this to come up. Just to give you guys what your normal number would be. So if the computer cooperates.
We know how that goes.
Well, it's a lot easier for me to pull up this stuff on a work computer since we have a particular network that we're using. So, let me see if this is going to come up or not. I can keep looking that up, and if we have any other questions, I can keep kind of working on that in the background.
How severe does a storm have to be before you send out a warning?
How severe does a storm have to be before you would send out a warning for it?
So we have two particular criteria to issue a severe thunderstorm warning. What we end up doing for that is we consider a storm to be severe if you have hail that is at least 3/4 inch in diameter or bigger. So for the most part, think about the size of a penny. If you took that width, that's one of our warning criteria. Though actually next year they're going to end up raising that to about the size of a quarter. They decided that penny-sized hail wasn't big enough to deserve a warning. So they're actually going to increase it to the size of a quarter. Though I'm not saying it wouldn't hurt if that hit you in the head. And the other thing is if we have 58-mile-an-hour winds. 58 is kind of a strange number. It's really 50 knots, which is, for any of the boaters out there, it has to do with nautical miles. So 50 knots or 58 miles an hour. That's what we issue severe thunderstorm warnings for. And then a tornado warning is we believe that there's going to be a tornado out there.
Got another question over here.
What is the largest storm that you've had to report, and what is the most destructive storm that you've had to report?
It's a large storm that you've reported and most destructive.
Up in Marquette and Pittsburgh, I haven't really seen too much so far, but there was one storm that we had in Marquette 2 years ago. It came through town, and we had hail that was 1 3/4 inch in diameter. So that's about the size of golf balls. So we had a whole bunch of golf ball-sized hail that came through town. And it ended up, you know, hitting car windshields, denting cars and roofs and windows and everything. And I believe the final report from that was that particular storm, and Marquette only has about 20,000 people, the total damage from all of the hail was $60 million. So that was the biggest storm that I've seen and the most destructive.
How much rainfall do you guys usually get?
We normally get about 40 inches a year. I'm not exactly sure offhand what your normal is for that. Let's see, local temperature climatology, precipitation climatology. The website's not working. All right, let's see what your daily one is. Oh, that's not what I wanted. No, I'm on the Moorhead City webpage, so I was trying to take a look to see what that ends up saying. Well, let me just see what you've had so far this year. So far in New Bern, there's been 38 inches of rain so far this year, and the normal number would be 46 inches. So right now, you guys down in New Bern are 8 inches behind for the year. But last year, you were 13 inches behind for the year at this point. So you're doing a little better.
Another question?
How much snow do you guys get down there?
How much snow do you get in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, the average is 40 inches a year. I've only been here for one winter, but we had 39 inches last year, so it was right on average. In Marquette, the average is about 200.